went to the eye doctor and he literally told me, I was like, I don't know, man. Like, if I look at the blank wall, I can see sort of like static in my vision. And that's like a thing. I've looked it up. Usually, like, everyone who says it's a thing says it's not, it doesn't mean anything. It's just some people's eyes do that.
Right.
And, but it was really freaking me out. And he like looks in my eye and stuff. And he's like, yeah, no. Remember how I said I stabbed myself in the pencil, in the eye with the pencil when I was a kid? I was convinced because that eye that I stabbed by accident is my bad eye. It's the eye that, like, my glasses, the left side's glass, the right side's prescription.
Right.
And I always assumed that it was because I stabbed myself in the eye with a pencil. And this eye doctor looked in my eye and he went, I don't even see any, like, scar tissue. That thing, it healed up. You're totally fine. And also, you're probably seeing static because your eyes are dry.
Yeah.
And I went home and I was like, oh, right. But until that point, I was like, I'm blind. I'm losing my vision slowly.
Yeah.
What is it? Macular.
Macular degeneration.
Yeah. Mach fivular.
Where you become slowly worse at picking up women.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Brush the shoulders off. Yeah. That's a shame, man.
I mean, no, but it's blind. Fine. Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm sorry you're not going to have a cool
patch. You took
the
wrong thing from that story. Yeah. That's the big fit, anything like this. Like, of course, nobody wants to be blind, but there's something particularly horrifying, like, in your, like, making movies or whatever, like, something you just so, it's like, if you can't see what you're doing or you don't, like, it's a,
what do you, it's like it's the impossible. Musician going deaf, right? Where it's like the great tragedy. It's the ultimate fear, sure. Yeah, man.
But I'm fine.
That's why, like,
except for how whatever just happened when I laughed and I saw a bunch of glowing spots in my vision, so maybe he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I mean, I'm just going to be...
Was that you again?
What?
Was that you just dressed up like my eye doctor? Yeah, you're fine.
Oh, I don't see any scar tissue.
Here, just put all these drops in your eyes. It's like salt water.
It's LSD. Shit. You're like, I'm seeing spots. Oh, man. Yeah, my mom's, whatever, her liaison, her boyfriend, whatever, he's like a drummer.
Wow, you're reckoning with that.
He doesn't have his shit. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what to call it because it's not like boyfriend seems so.
Yeah, boyfriend works.
Yeah, I guess works. Yeah, whatever. I'm cutting all this. Who cares about this guy? He plays drums.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like have insurance on his like hands and stuff. I'm just like, this is insane.
Wait.
Man. What if your
hold on.
What if your shit goes.
You can insure your hands specifically?
Yeah, especially if you're like a drummer. Like he's a professional drummer. Like he plays for like a jazz, famous like Mexican jazz musician.
But you're telling me there's hands insurance?
Yeah, dude. Beyonce has her ass insured for $500,000.
What does that mean?
It means that if anything occurs to the ass, all, you know, everything that would be involved in either repairing it or making up for its lost value would be paid out by an insurance company. So, like, if you have $1 million insurance on your ass, like, oh, no, I lost my ass in a terrible skiing accident, they will give you money that you would have made with your ass.
So you like, can value a part of your body as like invaluable
to you.
You can
value literally anything with evaluation and get insurance on it. Everything ever.
Beep, boop, boop, boop. Hello, my lawyer. Get me dick insurance. Stat.
Dude, I'm sure there's a ton of dick insurance. I'm sure there's a ton of insurers out there.
Wow.
JP Hanglow & Son. They're a very famous company. Insures,
hang low.
Insures tick.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with me is that all my ideas. I mean, the things like an antenna. It's that's what receives all of those crazy concepts.
Okay.
I want to talk about my dick every beef.
Thank you.
It's my favorite thing.
What were we talking about?
My dick.
Have you seen A Quiet Place?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you see it? Nick, did you see this one? I want to, though. Okay.
All right, good. We're going to spoil the fuck everything. Out of it for you.
Welcome to Reasonable Beef. Okay. That's where the theme song's going to go. Good.
Finally. Movie for a grumpy dad. Thank God.
Yeah.
Everybody's always talking so much, making all that goddamn noise.
I tell you what, the only reason he didn't slap these kids across the mouth, make too much damn noise.
It is funny that to think we were joking about like the monsters just the whole time. Anytime someone makes noise, they're just going like, shut the fuck
fuck up! Just shut up! Flying it off the screen. We saw A Quiet Place. It came out this year, directed by John Krasinski. Did he also do the screenplay?
I think he wrote it. There's two other writers, if I'm remembering correctly. So I assume that was one of those like rewrites kind of things.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure when he was talking about it, he said that he specifically, like, he started with, he wanted to write this and, yeah, showed it to his wife. He wasn't going to ask her to be in it. She read it and she was like, yeah, I don't know if we should do that, where it's like, we play like husband and wife in it. And then she read it when they were on a flight and she said, oh, I want to do this. I got to do this movie.
Sure. Oh, wait, they're married? Emily Blunt and John Crazy Train?
Yeah, famously.
What do you mean famously? I mean, I guess in the way that they're both famous and married.
Do you not read people?
No, I don't read people. I read books and magazines. I didn't realize that people could be read.
Well, that's what people...
I didn't realize people were made of words, Dominic.
Oh, come on.
Whoa!
Stupid.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that they were married. That's,
Yeah, they're married as hell.
That's cool. That explains. They did have good chemistry.
Yeah.
I guess that explains it.
Yeah. So how do we begin?
Yeah, it's a good question on how to approach. I think you could start with,
closing that goddamn door.
My roommate opened the door.
Yeah.
I think we could probably start with, what's the budget on this? Let's talk
like, I would say like $300 million.
$17 million. It was very close.
Yeah.
Made 71 on the opening. That's great.
I believe that. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I knew that this has been a fascinating one in the way that it was. We were just talking, like Tim was just saying in the chat, Tim H. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's true. This is kind of like, I think part of what my reaction to this movie had a lot to do with, unfairly for what it's worth, the advertising. And we talk about it a lot of,
yes,
like thing, like the movie, what the movie's up to being taken by other people and how I have a lot of sympathy for when that happens. Like when someone all of a sudden it's getting these best reviews in the world and it's saying it's a masterpiece of horror art and blah, blah, blah. And then you go and it's like, it's kind of asking you to be like, is it though? Or
yeah.
Really? Really? Is it that insane? Is it that perfect? And my feelings were like kind of no, and that's not fair, but I was disappointed because of the way that they were touting this as like a return to cinema and like, you know.
I see what you mean. It's kind of like you're putting a light behind a tarp, right? And it makes you see all the holes way better. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's all what it is, where it's like you're now looking for this shit that's fucked up in it.
That was just such a weird, is that like a, do people have to do that a lot?
No, I mean, it's just like a, like an image to explain. Was it effective? Was it evocative?
I see what you're saying, but the way you said it made me think that that's like this common chore people got to do.
Well,
like,
no,
yeah,
just,
let's go check the tarps.
I got to go put the lights on behind the tarps.
It's Sunday.
We can find the holes. We're going to go hole spot. You guys want to come? Shit was different before Facebook.
it's begging you because of how it's being, you know, pitched.
Sure.
In all the TV spots and the posters and stuff. It's like, this,
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I mean, it's all very like... autistic.
Mm-hmm.
One of these horrors comes along every couple
it's
of
years. Not
yes, like, absolutely.
I wouldn't say that it was like devoid of the craft or whatever, but not by a long shot. In fact, like, I like a lot about how this was shot and like how these sequences come together. I would prefer over a lot of like the horror movie stuff. That said, again, this was sort of like, and it's hard, I'm trying to suss this out and not blame the movie for these things, but I think even if I saw the movie without all of the promotional stuff, mm-hmm, I wouldn't be so thrilled about all the jump scares in it.
Yeah, I agree. And so a lot of perspective I've seen on this has been around the jump scares and how, you know, this is a movie that I think for the first time justifies its jump scares. Well, I mean, every horror movie has justified jump scares because it's, you know,
it's scary, yeah,
a horror movie meant to scare you. I don't think that if this should be forgiven because the premise is about silence and then, of course, a loud noise will scare you, because that's just like that's its best weapon. That has nothing to do with its premise. It's just what comes along with the premise.
I think what's annoying to me, yes, exactly. And I think that I would like, I would forgive it more if the jumps were coming in a more like honest way, but they really slam on the, it happens.
And there's a couple of very cheap ones.
There's super cheap ones. And if they just played it in at the normal decibel level of the thing happening, it would probably still startle me,
yeah,
but it wouldn't feel like gotcha. Yeah. It would feel like, oh, this, how interesting that like I'm so on the edge of my seat that then just this
so
simple
schmaltzy. Isn't it funny how I feel like maybe we're in a transitionary period of horror where that's kind of what you're going for, and then maybe in edit they add that kind of stuff.
Sure, they
we're
keep bumping,
seeing,
keep bumping. Yeah, you never know.
And I know Nick was frustrated with the violins and the music, where he's like, I find the darkness like fascinating enough. Can you imagine this movie without the music? Which I kind of disagreed with, but I do see that perspective of like, if this movie was silent, except for the noises that these people are hearing, how would it be effective?
It would be better.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be more artistic.
But the music didn't bother me.
Yes, me neither.
Yeah.
But maybe, how much of that is just because we're so used to the modern, like, that's just the way that that's presented to us, so it's not weird. Like, and this movie has other issues, right? Beyond just beyond the music, beyond the craft of it. I think in universe, there's some problems.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, with the newspapers we were talking about, where, like, a lot of those raise more questions than they answer. Like, it's supposed to be a clever way to give you backstory into what's happening in this world.
Well, clever is a... I don't know why, for some reason... Well,
in, like, a screenwriting class, they're like, put things on the wall to give clever backstory, but then it plays out.
This is really, for some reason, inspiring, an annoyance that I don't usually experience with movies, and I think maybe because this was so up my alley, and I was so, like... jealous to hear what this was about and then to see the trailers and stuff, I was like, fuck, this is like so what I want,
right?
And so my flavor. And then there was something frustrating to see it and it be like, I don't know, I guess I'm taking a lot of words to say it disappointed me.
Yeah,
but like the newspaper stuff, like we talked about it a little after the movie, that this movie is so set in. And I don't think it's trying to hide this at all, but the movie is its conceit. The movie is don't make noise or these things get you.
Right.
That's like the fucking center of it. And yes, you could argue about the family stuff being like the thematic core, but like I don't really
see... In a way,
see...
that's the new horror movie play, right? Where it's like we have this cool premise.
Right.
And then...
here's some people you are going to care about.
Sure.
Right. And that's... I don't know. For some reason, I'm like a little... I don't know. I'm a little frustrated by, I think, what it thinks it was and what I was told it was and what it is.
Right.
Are all feeling like a little at war with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people's reaction to it is them wanting to be what they thought it was. And I think upon further viewing, people will realize, like, you know, maybe we saw a little bit too much of that monster for it to be particular. Like,
They did a good job for such a long time in it, though.
Yeah.
Like I was,
and especially for $17 million, I think that the creature looked pretty good for what they're doing, budget wise. I didn't love the design of the creature. I think it's just like a little bit.
I thought he was cool.
Yeah,
I called him. There was like three of them.
And how much of this is like my expectation of what I wanted out of the movie and what my taste is,
right?
But I guess the implication is that there's some kind of otherworldly creature, like they call them the Dark Angels.
Right. Like they just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I just think that it looked kind of dumb. I didn't like the multiple carapace thing on its face where it would open up. And
I thought that was cool.
I don't know. I think it's just done. And like when the creature's moving, it sounds like leather. It sounds like an AR-15 pitched way up, like the noise that it's making, where it's like, I've seen all of this in movie monsters before, and this just kind of feels like, this isn't an alien, this isn't like a new groundbreaking monster, this is just the monster. And like, it's not trying to be this groundbreaking new monster flick, but still, it is frustrating to see. Like,
I mean,
the leather skin
bit,
drives
it,
me crazy.
It a little bit is trying. I mean, because it's, again, like I said, that's what I think is where I feel justified in digging into like the lore stuff and the rule stuff, because the whole movie is propelled by the rules and the lore, and that like what noises they hear and what stuff they can get away with and how to distract them and shit like that. Like, I don't know, as far as one of the first things that and I'll give the movie the credit in that I wasn't necessarily thinking about this stuff in it, or if I was, it kind of rolled off my back and I was moving on. But like, why is anything on any counter or hanging anywhere in this movie?
Absolutely.
Why are not all of the hardwood floors covered with every blanket they own?
Yeah.
Like, it's all sand
that
or whatever.
The like, first thing. And that, like, and my Kelly brought up an interesting point where it's Like, they set up this big light structure, but didn't think to soundproof their... Like, that wasn't the first project. Because, right. So, my counter was that was, you can't exactly do construction, right?
Of course,
you know,
right.
It's obviously sound, but they put shit together. They have put infrastructure together to fight against these things. So, why not either, A, do it near the big waterfall where you know they can't hear you. So, it's clear that walls don't matter to these creatures.
Right.
Or build a soundproof... thing in
well,
the house
well,
that you
once
live in
they
all
got
the
down to the baby room, I was a little bit like, why don't you
why
live
here?
In there?
Yeah.
Like, that seems like you thought about this. You would just stay there all day except for when you need to, like...
Right.
And yes, I get it that they want to have some form of a normal life and there's kids and stuff, but, like, it really is one of those worlds where when you see... Like, again, you're only playing by the movie's rules. If you tell me how dangerous these things are and how scary this is, the situation... I'm going to start to be like, why the fuck is anyone allowed to, like, walk anywhere by themselves?
Yeah.
Why do you ever let your kid go anywhere except for around the house and have a perimeter? And, like, I don't know, man.
Well, I think that they ask you these questions, or they answer these questions, and then the answers they give you are not adequate. Like, you can see the thing with the shit on the walls. Like, there's a scene the first time you see Emily Blunt in the house, she walks in and there's all of these mason jars filled with, like, I guess baby food or something on the wall. And I'm like, that is insane. If that falls, you will all die. Like, it'll smash on the ground.
Right.
And it's in the shots. Like, it's not even like we're extrapolating this. It's like,
yeah. And
going
I get that
on?
There's
so dangerous.
This is that weird, we're hitting this weird juncture point of, like, a movie need or like a like the production, it needs to look cool. It needs to look like a cool old rickety we're living in the wilderness house,
right?
But also you set up these rules of like, yeah, but like we should be scared of anything that could possibly make a noise.
Well, the world is different now, so our house should reflect that, like the way that we live our lives.
I really do have a hard time getting over the like, why would you not instantly sound? Why wouldn't the all the newspaper things that they have for the baby room, and maybe they just didn't have enough or something. Like, maybe you could assume it's like, oh, they only had enough to do this little baby room. But then still, my question is like, why wouldn't you spend most of your time in your safest space? And then, hey, yeah, we have times where we go out and we
forage or whatever.
Yeah. You go and fucking fish and I don't know, man. I would usually take issue with people having this many nitpicky things about something. But again, I feel like this movie is full blast welcoming you to do that.
And considering like one of the main themes is about parental protection, right? And like kind of being a family and what it means to be a protector, and not making sure that your shit is locked down is kind of a big indicator that you're not being a great protector. So yeah. I do want to start. Okay. We'll start. Let's talk about some of the characters. Right?
We already started.
we'll jump into an arc here. So, at the very opening of the movie, the crux of the movie is that they lose one of their own, right?
Surprised the shit out of me. I loved it.
Oh, me too.
I was like,
me too.
Fuck!
Especially considering you saw it in the trailers and the brutality of it, just like how hard he hits them. I'm like, yes, that was good. And so the arc is that, I mean, she says it in the movie. The main point of the movie is if we can't protect them, who are we, right? And so at the end, because he loses his son, John Krasinski has to die, right? Through movie logic, right? In order to make it up, he has to save his kids and give it a big... whatever.
Sure.
But this is like a weird thing in movies now where I guess maybe it's like, what's the word I want to call it? It's like this kind of parental absolutism where like being a parent and caring about your kids is the most important thing. Like you need to defend them. He just left his wife, newborn son, and two young children alone in the post-apocalypse without a large, strong male figure to protect them. So, like, this isn't society, right? This is the apocalypse where actual physical body matters and, like, the ability to do labor matters.
Sure.
So, like, he just doomed them by not doing everything he could to, like, distract the monster or do literally anything else. I needed to see him pushed to absolute, there had to be nothing else he could do, right? Until he made that decision. And I feel like there's a lot of that in this movie of them not like blocking off, like, well, why didn't they do this? Like, they need to block off those exits for me so I will buy why they're making the decisions that they're making.
Yeah. I bought his sacrifice. I bought it as like they were, the thing was going to get into the truck. It was going to get them.
Right.
And he just needed to get it to go.
But I mean, like, he had an axe. You'd throw the axe to make a big bang. Or, like, do literally anything. He should have attempted. Like, I wanted to see a couple attempts and then him finally do it. Like, it was his first thing. He's like, I gotta do this.
Yeah,
bye!
I guess.
Goodbye!
I guess so. Lots of clever. Let's talk about some clever shit. Because I'm also like, again, I feel guilty whenever something like annoys me to the point of like.
Because it's a good movie. We need to talk about the bad things.
I would definitely like, I will probably watch this again at some point.
The suspense is real.
Like, it totally works.
For what it's worth.
For you know, I would say a little more, like 60% into the movie, I was like full blast on board with all the like anxiety of when the monsters are coming. But then almost half of it by the end, I was a little like tired. I was a little like, all right, man, we know. And like every time, like I would love to do like a little count of how many times they were walking or doing something and they heard a monster and froze and someone like put their finger up to their mouth to go, shh.
Yeah.
I was waiting for one of the kids to be like, Dad, we know. It's been like a year and a half. Yeah. I know to be quiet because the monsters are scary. Thank you. Fuck. And then the monster comes out and gets the kid.
Yep.
Damn it. This is better. But, I really liked I liked that when we were with his daughter who was deaf, you didn't hear anything.
Right.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool choice.
That was like a really neat thing. There was a lot of cool, the fucking sounds were good in it. Like it felt like a very quiet, scary world. I liked that when they were signing, they were also a little bit whispering and like you could barely hear it, but you could still, and there was something cool about that.
The use of sound was very good in this movie. Especially, of course. And that worries me because what if you go to a theater and your levels are fucked? Right, where it's like, I think this is a movie where sound is very important, and like silence is very important. But I mean, especially you see with the daughter character that like not all silence is equal, right? Her silence is more silent than their silence,
right?
Which I think is really interesting.
That is cool.
And they, but you know, that could easily get lost in the viewing experience.
Yeah, I just
it's frustrating, but it's really
cool
choice.
I'm a little frustrated by it. Yeah, I don't know, but I fucking love monsters, man. It's cool as shit.
Monsters, yeah.
Monsters are neat.
Really,
and I think
fun
there
note
was,
to end the movie on. Really dug that shit.
Oh yeah, the ending was cool as
just
hell.
Just like a great noise. It's like, you want to hear a noise?
Here it is. Yeah, motherfucker.
Rad. That shit ruled.
I will. I'm sorry. I keep going to the things that annoyed me, but like the girl's hearing aid goes haywire two times in a really big way.
I think three times
before she realizes.
Yeah.
I think the third time she realized. Okay. I think if I was counting it right. It really bugged me that after the second time, she didn't exactly know what was happening.
Yeah.
Because it happens one time. I think maybe the reasoning for this was that the first time, did she see?
She was like looking down and
like
freaking out.
Did she see that the monster ran away when it happened the first time?
I don't think so. Well, because that was the second time I thought, because she's walking in the cornfield.
That was the first
time.
It's
behind her and she doesn't know. Okay.
All right. She didn't know it was there?
Yes.
Okay. Fine,
but
maybe.
That's frustrating
but
as the viewer to see
it's
that.
It's frustrating
that many
as
times.
The viewer, and then, but even like, even if there was a second time, they have never watched one of these things go away. Like once you make noise, you are a fucking marked target. You're not getting away. It's gonna get you. It's gonna kill you. And then if like this out of nowhere, like she has this thing where her hearing aid goes crazy. It hurts her. She knows that it was that when the monster got close, and then the monster ran away. Would they not, like, and she is a smart, you had no reason to believe that these weren't, like, smart characters, especially when you've been living in this world where you're seeing how the rules work. You wouldn't think any deviation of what normally happens wouldn't be, like, this huge flag of, like, oh, shit, when it got close, my hearing aid went crazy, and it ran away.
Right.
You would think immediately in that moment they would do, like,
and their mentality seems to still be within our world and within the audience's viewing experience than in their world, their like deeply changed world.
But it frustrated me. Yeah. Even in my world, that was like, the monster went away. It ran away from you. You would think that it would realize. And like, so by the end of it, and it's like, oh, the dad had to dart. Like the dad's dead now. They're cornered in the basement. Like she's standing there around all the hearing aids. And like, even just within that sequence, I was so like, I was impatient, and that's never how I want to feel.
I agree. Like, what's going to happen is, no, I know what's going to happen.
I know
I want it to
just
happen.
Just do it. Just go.
Do it.
We understand.
Yes.
We've known for probably 35 to 40 minutes how these things, like, what weakens these things.
Yep. That is frustrating. There's a clever balance to be struck between feeding information to your audience and then utilizing it. I don't know. So
I really liked the performance. There were some parts of this movie that the performances were fucking awesome. And then there was like, I did have this overwhelming feeling after the scene where they're talking in the baby room and they have the, like, if we can't protect them, who are we? Mm-hmm. They talked so much in that back and forth. And it was so like, overdramatic.
Yeah.
That I was like, when they left that sequence, I went, I wish that they hadn't spoken.
Yeah.
I wish that there was this.
I will find them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was like, fuck, dude. Because then that sort of makes me reconsider everything I've seen so far. And that's like this. I think John Krasinski rocks. I think this movie is a good movie. I think that he did the movie he was trying to do. Because it is perfectly, like, for as frustrating as it might be or as cheap as some of the things are in it, it's a very, very functional, like, monster movie thing that's scary a lot of the time.
I don't want to call it a gimmick, but in a lot of ways, it does have a gimmick to it.
Yeah.
And it's successful.
He knows that it's the hook is the movie. Like, that's the whole fucking thing. It's how many things can we do with this rule? Isn't this interesting?
Yeah.
Oh, what about when they're in water? Like, you know, like,
right.
It's cool. I love that. I live for that shit where you, like, set a rule and then we're going to really dig around. The fireworks, fucking smart. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff.
A great scene, too. Like, sound, visual, or.
Yeah.
Audio wise, it was
And that's
team.
When you're, that's those things where you're saying, oh, these are smart characters dealing with something in like a really interesting way. You want people in these movies to be quicker than you. You don't want to be smarter than the people you're watching in a movie where they're like fighting a monster or something.
Or do you? Like, I guess it depends on what the director wants the audience to feel.
Because I'm more in the camp of I would rather like watch people be clever so that when they do something, I go, oh, cool.
I feel that. But I think with a lot of horror movies and, I do think that this is going for a maybe more mainstream audience than you would think, because I think it does have a sort of artistic-y marketing to it, but it's almost like a pseudo-artistic-y thing to it, where they're trying to get crossover appeal of people looking at it like, could this be up for an Oscar at some point? And also, is it just a horror movie? And I think you're getting crossover on those two camps right now, and I think that...
And it is just a monster movie, man.
Yeah.
Like, I would not say, because like, it was sort of what you were saying yesterday. Do you want to like go into that like theme wise? I don't really know
no,
what
please,
this was
tell me
up
how
to.
I was talking about.
You were basically digging at that. Yes, the family stuff is like a functional emotional rhythm underneath all of this.
Right.
We understand teenage girl feels guilty. We understand little boy doesn't want to have to grow up in this world. I don't really know what the mom exactly like wanted beyond protection. Like, I guess the parents just kind of wanted to protect them. Like, I understand. And the resentment of like, it was our fault that we lost the kid. Like, I understand all of that, but there's something to me, and this is maybe where my unfair ask of some of these movies is I like thematically it to be a little more directly tied to the fantastical element. I want the monster. I want the silence of you. If you make noise, you're dead. To have some sort of really direct
commentary on something other. I do.
And
recall.
You were kind of digging at that, saying like, I wished it was a little more about like an oppression of like feeling like you have to keep your head down a little bit, or like that.
Yeah,
you're not,
because there's the scene where they're at the waterfall and he gives that yell, like the primal scream.
Right.
It's like, I haven't ever been able to scream in like a year and a half.
And it is.
In a lot of ways, that's what this movie should be about.
There would have been a much, and I am not, I don't know if some people will be annoyed by this, but I think if you're annoyed by what I'm about to say, then you need to like think about your brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If this was not about like a beautiful white family, and this was like a minority. It was a black family. It was someone not them who looks as pretty as they do. There would be something far more interesting. Even if it could have been the same movie. Could have been the same exact movie with other things. But there would be this cooked in
of staying silent or you'll die.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. Wow. I didn't even think about that. That's a great take.
And but again, I don't want to fucking. I see myself a lot in this, you know, he wanted to make this cool monster movie. He wanted to put himself
in
it.
Totally. Like, I get it. Yes, yes, yes.
And I support it because it does. Again, this is not a bad movie. This is not like some fucking how did this possibly get good reviews movie.
Right.
I just, I don't know. And it's unfortunate. So I guess if there's a big like takeaway here, it's if you haven't seen it yet. Well, I guess if you haven't seen it, you're probably not listening to this.
Yeah. No,
but,
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish that I was a little more measured when I went in, because I was very excited because it's so my thing.
And I think also, I mean, God, we're jumping back to this, but something else I find frustrating in a movie when the problem of the movie is because characters are acting irrationally and not because of the problem of your movie. Like I do understand the logic behind, okay, they live in this hell world, so the problem is going to be the people, right? It's like, and their interactions with each other. I get that. It just is frustrating to watch that when you do live in this hell world where you want to be silent, like, I just want to see the family unit together and like have them fucking try to survive.
Right.
Like it is frustrating to watch the little girl walk away and like cause problems.
Well, that's almost, that's funny that that's, again, we talk about how now we've hit this rhythm, the pendulum has swung, that now the alt thing to do is something a little more just like streamlined or something more. No, right. You know what? The family likes each other now. We yes. talk about it with
it's like, but that's not the reality. It's like, yeah, okay, but that's fine. Like, I just want to see the premise.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking Neighbors as a comedy.
Right.
We thought Tim H is, again, big advocate for that. Like, the idea that the wife and the husband, I mean, Seth Rogen, like, talked about this as being, like, part of the mission statement of the movie when they started writing it. It was like, they were like, no, it's like, we've seen the thing where, like, the man is the one who's going over and trying to have a good time with the frat guys, but like the wife has to be the curmudgeon about it.
Right.
Like, no, they're a unit. They want to work together. So it's like with something like this movie, it would have felt a little newer if they all really were like a tight, like they got along and right. they were working together and all this.
Like when the little boy dies, that was like the moment when right. they all, instead of being the crux of the movie, which is kind of like, they're all kind of still dealing with the fallout of that moment, which, I mean, that makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Like when you're writing a script, I mean, fucking what do I know? But it makes sense Nothing. To have it start with the big defining moment, like beyond the fact, the premise of the movie, you know, where everything's falling to shit, and then have them all sort of dealing with their individual
And that is what it's doing. We're yes. just, it's just the way that, I don't know, it's a maybe a little more of like the obvious place.
So it makes
place.
It a more frustrating watch. Yeah, right. And it does make it the more, it makes the movie less streamlined. I guess that's the good way that
I
you're
don't
saying
even. I mean less by less streamlined. I mean like it would have been. I would have found it more interesting if you were going a little more full blast. This is about the premise of don't make noise. There's monsters that are coming. Yeah. That'll come and get you.
Sure.
And if it was just like interesting to watch these people figure that. And maybe I'm sounding completely hypocritical to everything else I believe about you needing to have like there needs to be real people you care about. But I think that real people you care about doesn't. You don't need to conflate that with. Like what's the word? A conflict that is like, what's the word where you, it's inorganic or whatever, sure, like a created.
Well, everything in here was an archetypal conflict of the strong-headed young daughter who wants to be mature and wants to help out, and the father who doesn't think she's ready.
Right.
You know, the cowardly yeah. son and like the oh, my children, like that kind right. of mother. Like everybody in here is kind of a big stereotype, and in a lot of ways that's the point, because they can't talk and express themselves. So it's kind of like we have to have an understanding of these characters and then watch them pretty much pantomime. Right.
I guess
in a lot of ways.
I guess, but I wouldn't. And I'm sure that if you track my feelings on Reasonable Beef, it's almost like people are interesting and have different opinions about different things.
Yeah.
But like, I'm fully aware that I'm so contradictory of like what I ask from what movie.
Yeah, sure.
Cause even just meanwhile, we're talking about Ready Player One, how it was like, I could have asked a lot more of it. It could have disappointed me because it wasn't up to a lot,
right.
But for some reason I didn't. It didn't disappoint me. Maybe sure. it's because I knew it didn't think it was up to more. But then meanwhile, I get with this and I'm like disappointed and like, I don't want to settle for that characters couldn't have been more interesting because they couldn't talk and we just needed to understand who they are immediately. Because I don't think that means they need to be stereotypes. I think you would understand instantly if they were different people because they just would right. act differently. I don't know. Like, I don't think you needed them to be like the rebellious teenager.
Well, I think
the scared
that there's
son,
a difference between the stereotype and the archetype, where it's like the stereotype is more like the common jokes and tropes about them, where I think the archetype is kind of like this is this character type.
Sure.
Right? Where like, and it's like you're just gonna have a vague understanding of this character type. And
I guess
I don't know.
I don't know what it is about this exactly. I'm having a hard time truly quantifying like what bummed me out about it or sure. what I was hungry for.
It certainly made me think. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I will also say there was a lot. I mean, I was fucking in for most of this movie. These were things that sort of as soon as I left started to bug me a little more. And by the end of it, I was tired. Yeah. I was like, I knew I was like tired and I kind of fallen out of it when like I thought you saw it like when I was like slowly reaching for the raisinettes in the cup holder next to us, and I went really meticulously slowly, and then like as soon as I got close to it, I was just like, because it was like, I was like, oh shit, I'm bored.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm just trying to cause trouble.
Like, I'm trying to like annoy people around me now, like in a like a true asshole. What is wrong with me?
Well, I mean, like for me, it was as soon as the John Krasinski character, I'm like, oh, this is now I'm done with this. Like, and there's another 15 minutes left in this. Yeah,
yeah.
And there's the point where the creature is like walking down the stairs, and I'm expecting it to go, ooh, like step on the nail.
That's funny.
Oh, geez, shit, my carapace.
Someone should really knock that back down.
Yeah, she doesn't take care of that. She doesn't address the thing, and then everyone like
put
walk
a bucket
down the
or
stairs
something
like,
over it.
Whatever.
I did every time someone went down the stairs. I was like,
is something gonna happen? Like, is it gonna happen again? Gonna,
yeah. I did find this very fascinating, and again, it's something that I really will attribute to like how well made it is as like a thing. Everybody in the audience, usually in a movie like this, especially like a big horror movie, lots of jump scares, lots of people slowly walking downstairs and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's a much more vocal audience. And like, if even for me, I find myself usually when I'm seeing movies like this, I'm a little more willing to be like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah.
But for some, because of what the movie was, you could feel everybody in the audience,
yeah, well-behaved,
like playing by the rules in a weird way, which I, that like makes me so happy. That is like such a beautiful, weird thing to me, that everybody, something loud would happen, everyone would go, but then quickly like,
yeah,
cover their mouths so that the monster didn't come. I love that. I love that so much. I think those are those, like, that's where I'm going to give this movie full blast credit of like, it does do the thing that people have said, in that like taps into like a very, you could put it into even just a horror movie box of it. It just goes straight for that. We are scared. Like,
yeah,
be sneaky.
Oh, well, the pre-title scene is like expertly done. I think everything that needed to be in there, you know, you have the little boy walking on the sand with his bare feet.
Yeah.
That's like a cool reveal. You know, you see them like foraging, and you know, they almost have a scare where the thing drops, and
yeah,
like they have that moment.
Maybe gasp.
And then like everybody's silent. And I think that's why the audience could play by the rules, is because it opens so silently until that last moment with the monster. And then everyone's just like, oh shit, because I don't think anybody expected that to happen, and then everybody was hooked.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that we got unhooked as it went on. Like, it didn't... It's one of those things where you just get, like, when somebody's teasing you for so long, like, when you're teased and, like, surprised by something, it's, like, fun for a little while, right, and then it's like, all right, just fucking give me my birthday present. Like, fucking give me my present right now.
I felt that way a little, too, like, where with how many times they almost... Like, the monsters almost come,
right,
or whatever. Yeah.
Poor raccoons, man.
It was funny to, like...
Kill that raccoon.
I know. It ate the raccoon. It was
brutal.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe it just fucking smushed it.
I think it just
kills. Yeah.
How did that raccoon survive that long? 493 days.
I don't know. It was like living in their attic.
Yeah.
Like a like just a smaller version of the same house up there. Like the same family, but they're raccoons.
Shh.
I don't know.
With his little hands.
I did like, we've started to almost go for it, but
that's like a Disney thing, right? Where there's like the same family, but they're mice. It's the exact same unit.
Yes.
Like, what? Who's did somebody like DNA? Like some weird experiment happened?
I don't know. Maybe that's just because that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something funny about a smaller exact version of a thing. I don't know, but we danced around it. But Nick is here just in time for us to talk about the fucking whiteboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Weaknesses? Question mark?
I loved it. It's like monster. Teeth good or bad? Bad teeth.
Armor? Question mark?
Yes. Yes, it do.
Very
it's
silly.
Like, how long did he write that?
And like I guess we touched on it a little bit earlier, but I guess we could talk about those newspapers where some of them were... Okay, so again, this is nitpicky, mm-hmm, but so... The headline for this one is that it's sound.
Right.
What was the idea behind publishing this newspaper? Like, oh, I hope it gets to everyone in time before the world ends. Like,
right,
I hope before everyone dies, people will figure this out.
I guess.
And there's also one that was written in impact font, which I thought was hilarious.
Yep. I think it was supposed to be that it happened so quickly.
It was like a meme, like, make noise, die. And it's like the monster in the middle.
What?
Bottom text.
Yeah. I think... Like, I'm fine with sort of most of this being a thing in the world thing, in that I could assume that if it happened, like, I mean, in that, how did it not get instantly dealt with?
Right.
If it happened very quickly in just some random day, and a bunch of people died immediately. Like, who knows actually how many of these things are supposed to be out there? Because they're like in the middle of the woods, and there's
three
at
in
least
the area,
three or four or five, right? Because they don't you see more?
No, well, there's only the three because like
did only two of them run at the end?
Yeah, on the stupid little whiteboard they say that there's three in the area, and they kill the one, and then you see two on the thing. At the end.
I thought more. I thought at the end you saw more than two, and he was just wrong. Nah. Okay, well, besides the point. Sure, it happened immediately. They didn't have time to like truly figure it out. And maybe for those first few days, there were people still alive. Maybe they figured out the it sound thing in the first day.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just like, that was the second day of this happening. Some people were like, okay and alive in their houses and waiting. And but here's
my
thing.
I do like that they still did a title and then like a subtitle. Like, it sound. Turns out the monsters. Turn to page six. Yeah. 5 cents. Like, they're still trying to make a paper.
With L'Oreal ad next to it. I will say this, though, as far as the larger, like, world stuff. And this is maybe where the can of worms was not for the best. Like, the newspapers and stuff.
Right.
I do have a hard time believing that, like, the best minds in the country... The president didn't die on this first day. Like,
sure.
The government...
Yes, the president. One of our finest minds.
You know what I'm saying? It's a movie, damn it. Remember? Movies, they're fake and good.
Yeah, nobody figured out make a certain noise and then shoot it.
Well, not even just make a certain noise, but you would think that if in the simplest premise of, like, oh, these things have fucking mega hearing, maybe we blow, like, a big-ass dog whistle.
Yeah.
Like, would that hurt it? Like, I just have a hard time, and especially now we're at day whatever, 450. Did truly no one, like...
Right.
There was... I don't know. Or maybe there just wasn't a way to, like,
it
implement it on
like
a wide...
It seems pretty much the if-so-then. Like, about if the creature has really good hearing,
you probably
turn the hearing way up.
You scream at
it. Yeah. You make a really loud noise and make it scared. I don't know. Those are the kind of things where, yes...
Who dropped that pot? Who dropped the pot? Shut up! Trying to fucking chill. I'm working all day. I come home. I just want to eat a fucking raccoon. Relax.
Big hand. Big hand just comes out and smacks a raccoon. Hey,
yeah.
Fuck, what were we gonna... What was I saying?
Talking about the big sound.
Yeah, and like, I just wanted a little bit more backstory for the, like, maybe
or
just...
Or way less.
Yes, or way less.
Right.
Yeah. Because the implicate where it says New York City has fallen, I'm like, New York did not fall without somebody realizing to, like, do the biggest city in the United States. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Without somebody figuring this out. That's the kind of shit where it's, yeah.
It's definitely fucking, like, cool. I don't know. And I don't want to ask it to be a different version of its own movie, but, like... Well, there was a version where they knew this in the beginning, and they were killing them as they were coming, but like...
Then they got overrun, sure.
Or if it's like, if it's as simple as, okay, that's a thing, we know that it's like loud noises like this, but then, I don't know, they fucking lose all their things that make the loud noise, and then they're... I don't fucking know.
Hey, but that's very clearly not the case.
I know, I'm just asking, I'm asking too much.
Well,
and
I believe
sense.
That a sequel was greenlit.
This is where I feel unfair.
A sequel was greenlit.
Cool, man.
A Quiet Place. I'm just like kind of wondering what...
Cool.
That might look like.
Because again, it's not bad. This is not bad. And even like in the emotional stuff that I took issue with, or the, you know, they're not like, I wouldn't call them bad scenes. I wouldn't call them bad characters or like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think like at its base, the movie doesn't, I mean, it works, but like, this is not like a lore that you can dig into. And you really need to not think too much about the backstory or else you'd lose the drama with the family. But even so, I don't really love the drama with the family. And like, walking out of this movie, my biggest question is, what did I really like about it? And it was the premise, right? I liked the intensity.
I feel so grumpy. Like, I feel like I'm being a grouch about it. But
I agree. But I think with a horror movie, sometimes it either works for you or it doesn't work for you. And this is undoubtedly a horror movie. Despite what anybody else wants to say.
And I would still say it works. That's the other, like, I don't want to ignore the fact that this was very, like... A lot of the movie was going by, and I was fucking there, dude.
Yeah.
I was strapped in it with them.
Yeah,
and it was more. I think it was as they, maybe you could say this is the whole problem too with the newspapers and stuff. I think as they were telling me more things or explaining more about the character relationships and I don't know, more adding more rules to it or whatever. That's when I started to like, all right, chill, because you're now making me ask more questions sure. I didn't want to ask.
Like, why does the little girl think her father doesn't love her? And why, this is another one of these things where the problem of the movie is because one character doesn't explain to another character a very simple thing, which is like, right. you are deaf and I don't have a way for you to hear when you're out with me. So I don't want to take you out with me because you might die. Right. Right? It's very,
I didn't even think that was what it
very
was.
Very
yeah,
simple
yeah.
because her hearing aids don't work. Right? That's right. the point of the movie. We're trying to find hearing aids so that it'll work so that she can survive better in this world.
Right.
It's a very simple one conversation that you have that solves the problem of your movie. And watching the movie spiral, like, it's the comedy of errors, right? It's the classic formula where, you know, it's a bunch of misunderstandings, but right. it's fucking frustrating to watch sometimes. It's yeah. just, especially when, like...
Well, it works in a comedy because it makes you go, oh, oh
yes,
no.
Sure. It absolutely works in a comedy, but, like, when it's a drama, it is very frustrating to watch.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel mean, and I'd wish, I don't know.
I don't think, because I think that of all the Reasonable Beef episodes, I think that this is the one that's stayed truest to the mission statement, because I feel like all
beef.
Of these beefs have been pretty reasonable. And yeah. I think we've been giving the movie credit where it's due, because I don't think that anybody disliked this movie.
No, I definitely I didn't like leave it being like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw it. I think maybe The Quiet Place was what the monsters were looking for the whole time. They're like, quiet! Come on. You already working on predictive text? This is gold.
Sorry. Sorry.
All right, whatever. Predictive text movie review. That was a great joke. Basically, you type in the name of the movie, which is A Quiet Place, and then using your predictive text on your phone, using any of the three options, you build a movie review. Now, folks, I want you at home to follow along. Type in A Quiet Place, and then why don't you tweet your predictive texts at Reasonable Beef on Twitter, or you can email them. Maybe we'll read them one day. Who knows? That rules. Okay.
Hold on, wait.
Mine is complete.
Yeah, great. Go ahead. I
awesome.
Don't know about mine. Go ahead.
All right. Mine is A Quiet Place, Blockers, or something else for you guys to see.
Wow.
That's literally like, because I was texting, what do you guys want to see for
oh
this week's
God.
Beef?
Oh, my God.
It just reassembled
scary.
It.
Mine is a little different. A Quiet Place has a great night out and about. So many people who have been sick, and I want to do you.
That's a solid one. Okay, and we're going to end this one on, I guess, a two-headed critic for A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Usually we have a guest on. This episode we don't. So this is going to go back and forth, me and Dom, one word, until it's a complete thought about John Krasinski's A Quiet Place. There.
Wasn't it?
Very...
smart
monsters
in
this
world,
but
they
had
great
sexy
ears.
Perfect. Wonderful. They sure did. I loved how slick the ear, like they would zoom in on the ears, yeah. like really.
Oh, you better believe we're hitting rule 34 after we stop rolling. And there's
monster ears.
People are fucking those ears.
I don't know if anyone does that. Does anybody do rule 34 anymore? Is that still around?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
did I just date myself?
Nick is nodding very enthusiastically.
Oh, okay.
He's like, oh yeah.
You scared me. I was like, fuck, did I just like reveal that I still think it's 2008?
Yeah. No, I do too. I forget that 2008 was 10 years ago all the time.
Fuck.
I'm like, oh, people still like me. And then nobody.
No, nobody does. Nobody that was then. Me. This is now.
Fuck. I was going to say, what are these monsters called? Do they give them a name?
A Quiet Place is.
Oh. Dude, their faces were dumb. They look like those like lights you see at IKEA where you pull the string and they open up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. That's what the face looks like. It's dumb as hell. Hey, if you liked what you heard here, please go to www.patreon.com/reasonablebeef and give what you can. Any dollar gives you access to bonus beef, which we just put a new one up for March. Yeah, we do need to record a new one for April. We're going to start. I went back and I looked and it's like, okay, we got September, December, and March.
Very nice.
I think so.
Now that's the consistency these people want.
Got three back. I know I'm laughing at taking your money to make the show, but I swear to God, the money does help with the show, makes the show happen. I pay Nick. Nick gets paid.
Pays for us to see the movies.
See movies passes. Yeah, it's a good time.
There's plenty of movies we probably wouldn't go to see.
Absolutely. And we will be more current. April's will be on time for the end of this month. by Brabus. Do you have anything to plug? Anything cool coming out?
I just have that new songs out on my thing.
Good.
You know, there's another one coming. Just stick around if you like music.
You gonna put out an album soon?
Who's to say?
Cool. I think you should do that. Pay what you want. Yeah. Kind of like Little John. You've done a couple, right? Cat on the Piano. Was that your first one? That's a long time ago.
Yeah, my fucking like not music, all joke. Like that was what a weird thing to remember, Tim.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you mean? What a weird thing to remember? You put out an album.
No,
it's kind of a big deal.
I didn't put it out.
Yes, you did. You put 12 tracks. You grouped them into a zip file and you uploaded them to iTunes. That's putting out
an
album.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. That thing was sold on iTunes.
No.
Yes, it
God,
was.
No.
You
what
damn
have I
fool.
Done? What have I
you
done?
You made people pay money for that.
No,
when
I
you were
didn't.
15.
I think it went on MySpace for free.
It was on iTunes. You
oh,
made a big
God.
Mistake. Well, there's going to be a huge check waiting for you in some iTunes account somewhere. Is that how that works? I don't know. Thanks
for
listening.
That's how it works.
Have a good night, everyone.
Be very quiet. We're in the ear.
Okay, Professor.
What?